بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Welcome productive Muslims to another productive interview with a productive Muslim. Today we have Darren Cheeseman. He's actually a member of the current England and Great Britain hockey team for the Olympics, and he's also was a member of the Britain Youth Under 21 team that won the silver medal at the 2007 Junior Olympic Games. He's into sports, he's into business. Darren, it's great to have you with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for being on the call with us. Today, I want to ask you a quick some questions about your productivity. So when I give you, ask you to tell us, what's the day like in Darren's life?
Wow, subhanAllah. Every day is completely different. And it completely depends on the kind of the time of the cycle that we're in. So at the moment, we're in a club phase. So we're not contracted to the national team right now. So in a club phase, basically, I'd have a morning session, which would be on my own. And that would be like a gym session, a yoga session or a run or something like that. I'd then kind of leave there and I'd start delivering my own programs for work. So that would be kind of personal development programs that I run in local schools, in businesses, could be seminars, webinars, whatever that might be. I would do my own studying during the day. I would kind of be planning for the different programs that I want to be running as well. And then in the evening, two nights a week at the moment, I have club training. And my club is in Reading, which is probably about an hour and 20 minutes away. So I'd travel there by train, where again, I'd do some kind of work on the train, finish my training, and then I'd come home at about 11:30, 12 o'clock to see my wife, who would be up waiting for me, ready to have dinner.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I would kind of be doing at the moment. But in like a few weeks, we start our GB cycle again, preparing for Rio 2016. And there we have five mornings a week on the pitch, as a centralized squad. We have three gym sessions a week, as a squad, two running sessions. And then on top of that, you've got to find time to do your own technical work, video analysis of all of your training and previous matches. You've got to do your kind of vision training. You've still got two club training sessions per week to fit in. And there's on top of that, you've got to try and find, time to kind of do your work. And I mean, somebody like me, I've got a wife and a 3-year-old daughter. So, it's then also trying to fit in that kind of time as well.
Wow. This obviously takes a lot of sort of discipline to be able to be consistent, to be able to get things, you know, just trying to manage everything. So how do you maintain the discipline to, you know, go to gym, to be on time, travel, come back? You know, sometimes people just normally that lifestyle, they find it very difficult. How do you maintain that discipline?
My genuine advice and something that kind of I put into my own life first is that your goals are the only thing that can make you act. So if you've got a load of things that potentially are things that you have to do, like I'm a hockey player, my passion is not to stand in the gym, my passion is not to go running, my passion is to play hockey. So there are plenty of things in my program that I have to do. And if you treat them as things that you have to do, what happens is you go into them with resentment and you really don't like it, which means you turn up late to it. It means that kind of you're not very productive during that session and you probably leave early and you've got no benefit from it. So you've got to try and turn the things that you have to do into things that you want to do. And the only way that you can do that is by linking those things to a bigger goal. So for me, the goal is Rio 2016. And although that's 3.5 years away, it's trying to kind of say, well, my treasure at the moment, the thing that I would do anything for, is a place in that squad, and not just a place, but the ability to really benefit the team and kind of be an effective player that kind of promotes the team to become, hopefully Olympic champions. And if I really want that, if that's something that I really, really desperately need and I have to have it in my life, then one of the things that are going to help me get there is my gym program. Another thing is my running program. Another thing is my nutrition. Another thing is my vision training. And then basically that's a way of turning all of those things that you have to do into something that you want to do, and therefore kind of you naturally find yourself ticking them off and saying, yes, I'm glad I did that.
Amazing. I want to ask you about, you said about goals, importance of goals. People have different ways of setting them. Some like to sort of visualize a big picture. Others like to plan every detail. I mean, how do you go about setting your own goals, achieving them? Do you feel that you have to sort of have a big goal to run after, or do you the person think, let me focus on the details first?
I like to kind of, I mean, the way I see it is eventually, like, we know that kind of people make plans and then ultimately kind of we may never achieve those things because Allah could have something completely different in store for you. But I like to know kind of what I'm working towards, because I think when you have a focus, then you're more inclined to go towards it. So I will sit down and I will say, these are the big things that I really want to do. These are the big things I want to have. And these are the big things that I want to be. And based on those kind of three categories, what I'll do is I'll start to kind of create roadmaps. And the way I look at it and the way I work with all my clients on it is I treat it like a treasure hunt. So in a treasure hunt story, if I'm reading to my three-year-old daughter and I'm talking to her about a treasure hunt story, the number one thing that happens in every single treasure hunt story is the little boy or the little girl is told about this treasure somewhere, and it becomes so clear and so compelling to them that they have this massive desire for it. And that's the way that I see it, that kind of whether it's a long-term goal, a medium-term goal, a short-term goal, if it's, it has to be that compelling and it has to be to you like a treasure. Otherwise, it's something that is kind of a nice to have. And if a goal is nice to have, then you probably won't achieve it. So the first thing is you've got to create that really compelling treasure. The second thing is when that little boy or that little girl is told about the treasure, the next thing that usually happens in a story is that they're given a map to try and help find it. And either they're given that map or they find it when it kind of gets washes up on shore in a scroll. But whatever happens, they get that map. And on that map, there's a few details. Firstly, it tells you where the treasure is. So it's usually marked with an X. So imagine that's in the top right-hand corner of this map. So you know exactly where this treasure is, and that's the first detail that you really need. The second detail is, where are you now? So it may be that kind of you're a long way along the path to getting that goal. It may be that you're right at the beginning of the path, but unless you know where you are, the next part, which is the directions, is pointless to you, because if you're facing a completely the wrong way and you're on a different path to where the directions are from, that's useless to you. So the first thing you need to know is, where is the treasure? Second thing is, where are you right now? And then the third thing is, what is the path that is going to take you from where you are to where you need to be and to collect that treasure? But on top of that, you also have the kind of the additional things that go alongside it. So what are the milestones that are going to be there along the way? So the things along the path that are going to let you know that you're on your way to achieving it. And if you don't plan those things, you won't know if you're on the right path. So if I use kind of my example of when I was growing up, from the age of 11, I knew I wanted to play for Great Britain. So at 11 years old, I built this map for myself and I said, I want to play for Great Britain at the Olympic Games. That's my treasure. Where am I now? I've only been playing hockey for 4 months. Mm-hmm. So what do I need to do to get there? And I kind of went to some really kind of experienced people that have kind of been playing hockey for a long, long time. And they told me that the milestones I needed to look for were, I was playing for my county, which was Essex. I was playing for my region, which was east of England, that I played for England juniors, that I played for, the England under 21 team, that I played for the Great Britain under 21 team, that I played for England seniors, that I played for Great Britain seniors. And then if I did all of that, I might be one of the 16 that get to go to an Olympic Games. So from the age of 11, I knew what those kind of milestones were. And that let me know that I was on the right path. But then the last thing, and the thing that kind of most people miss out on them roadmaps, is that you need to know what the distractions are and the things that are kind of could potentially prevent you from getting there. So if you don't understand what they are, they could be like the pirates and the dragons and the sharks that are on a kind of treasure map. If you don't know what they are and you're not prepared for them, then what happens is you go into a fight with a pirate, they have a sword and you don't, and you're not going to be able to progress. So it might be that kind of injury is there as a pirate, well, if that's the case, then I need to make sure that I'm doing all of the work now to prepare for that meeting. So that could be my stretching, that could be my gym work, that could be my running work, that could be my nutrition, whatever it might be. But I need to put in an action plan to make sure that when I get to that specific point, I'm ready for it and I can just get past it.
That's a brilliant, brilliant example. It's actually a very, very vivid example to have. I mean, you said from the age of 11, you've sort of had this plan together. And I think what that testifies is the amount of patience and amount of sort of called deliberate practice that you go through to reach this level where now you are one of the sort of the great British squad. So the question is, how do you keep that patience going? I mean, some people would give up halfway through, or they just think, you know, how can the people build this patience in their lives where they have a goal and just keep going at it every single day?
I think it links all the way back to kind of the number one thing in the treasure hunt story, that kind of, if it really is your treasure and it really is something that you want so much and it's really compelling to you, that you know that this isn't something that you're going to be able to kind of get really easy. And if it is something you can get really easy, then that's not really a treasure. That's something that's kind of that's almost like something you can just go and get. And if it's something you can just walk out into the high street and just go and pick up with no problems, then that kind of loses the special effect. So knowing that it's going to take you time, knowing that you're going to have to do something special to kind of get it, that I think builds up the significance of the treasure, and therefore makes you want it even more. So there have been many things that kind of have taken me off track. There have been many things that have kind of dented my belief that it was possible. But if it really is your treasure, then it will always be sitting there in your mind saying, no, kind of, you said you wanted this, you committed to doing this, let's go and try and achieve it. So I think the first thing is kind of, you always need to kind of, I mean, if I'm kind of relating this back to people who are working or studying, whatever it might be, I'd say that kind of, you need to always make sure that you set the objective before you start the task. So if you're getting caught up in whatever it might be, and you're losing focus, you're losing kind of energy, and you're finding you're not very productive, it's usually because you don't have that treasure in mind before you start the task. And the way to do that is you need to make sure that you're entering into that task with complete physical, mental, and emotional state of mind and state of presence and all that kind of stuff. And if you do that and you're really focusing, then the distractions won't really be there. And the second thing I do a lot is I journal. So I carry around a sketchbook. And in that sketchbook, firstly, I write any kind of important thought that I have, because that basically means that I'm not wasting my time thinking about it. I can just come back to it when I've got the time to kind of elaborate on it. But the second thing is, if I've got a kind of big question that's sitting there in my mind, I can just write it down. So, because after the Olympics and up until now, we've had a break from the international squad. And one question I wrote down in my journal was, do I really want to commit myself to the Great Britain cycle leading up to Rio? Mm. And it wasn't a question that I needed to answer right then, but I needed to write it down in my journal, because that question and the answer to that question would help me kind of understand what path I'll take from now. And it actually took me probably a month to kind of really sit down and think long and hard about the answer to that question. And I said, yes, I do really want to commit to it. But the fact that I wrote it down in my journal meant that I could come back to it time and time again, rather than having to think about it all the time.
Alhamdulillah. In terms of your, I mean, you said you're quite busy with your career, your sport career. But also you have lots of activities that you balance with in terms of your personal development, in terms of your family. How do you balance? What sort of technique you use to balance between different activities in your life?
It was only about three and a half years ago that I really did find a balance. Before that, I was completely hockey focused, and I did everything I could to kind of try to achieve this treasure. And then I realized that on the days that hockey was going well, I was the happiest man in the world. Mm-hmm. And on the days that hockey was going wrong, I was the angriest man in the world. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working for me or my family. And then I kind of stopped. I took myself out of the situation and I thought about it a little bit. And now I have a goal for every single part of my life, and I need to look at what are the most important parts of my life. So I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a Muslim, I'm a hockey player, I have my own business, I'm a hockey coach, I'm a member of the community. There are so many parts of my life, and I need to make sure that I've got my big treasure that I'm looking to achieve in each of those areas. Secondly, I've got my kind of my monthly goals that I'm trying to achieve. So there has to be something that I achieve each month in each area to let me know that I'm kind of along that path. Then that breaks down into weekly goals. So there has to be something each week that I can say I'm moving along towards this monthly goal. And then each day there should be one action that I can do. Even if it's one tiny action, there has to be something that I can do just to kind of tick off that I'm moving along this path just a little bit, just even if it's one step, just let me make some progress. And what that means is I'm not forgetting my duty as a Muslim. I'm not forgetting my duty as a husband. I'm not forgetting my duty as a hockey player. It may be that the most important thing right now is my hockey. It may be that the most important thing right now is my family. But whatever that most important thing is, that will get the majority of my attention. But everything else still has to get its equal share because they all have their rights.
Darren, you've become a Muslim in 2007. How would you say that your Islam has influenced your productivity or goal setting, your outlook on life generally?
Becoming Muslim has impacted on my productivity in probably two key ways. I think the first thing is that everything I do now is all about kind of trying to get towards Allah and to get His pleasure. So everything I'm doing is looking for ihsan. And basically, the way I do that is by saying that if everything I do is for Allah, then surely everything I do has to be to the best of my ability, because Allah is beautiful and loves beautiful things. And therefore, kind of every act has to be its most beautiful. And what that's meant is that kind of every time I do something, doesn't matter whether it's greeting my wife in the morning or playing hockey, like anything that kind of I do in my day-to-day life, I try to make sure that I do it to the best of my ability. So that was the first thing. Second thing is that kind of in terms of my time management, I now end up scheduling a lot of stuff around my salah. And because of that, and having to kind of think about where I'm going to be putting in my salah, I'm also thinking about what are the other really important things that I really have to fit into my diary. And my prioritization has suddenly become a lot better, that the things that are really important get scheduled, and then anything, any kind of free time I have around that get spent doing the kind of the things that are less important. So those are probably the two things that have really helped my productivity since becoming a Muslim.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You spoke about focus in there, and I will ask you, how do you sort of manage to stay focused and not be distracted, whether that's life distractions or just day-to-day distractions from, you know, Twitter, iPhone, YouTube, social media, or any other distraction?
I think kind of like I've said elsewhere, that kind of one of the biggest things is you've got to start with the objective in your mind, and whatever task you go into, you've got to make sure that you know why you're doing that task. Because if you're doing a task and it has no meaning, it has no kind of objective, then that's a waste of your time, and that time could definitely be spent elsewhere more productively. And there's nothing wrong with social media, there's nothing wrong with downtime, as long as you know that the objective is rest and relaxation, or the objective is you relaxing. But if you're going into a task and you're doing it and you don't know why you're doing it, then that's where the problem starts. And if you get into that habit, then distractions become a lot easier to kind of to get a grip on you. So the first thing is you need to kind of make sure that you know what your objective is. Second thing is when you're going on things like when you're on the internet and you're doing work, there are going to be times where kind of you end up having to go on Twitter to do some work, like I do. Like I spend a lot of messages via Twitter and Facebook and things like that. And there will always be times where somebody's profile or a message pops up and you kind of you go onto it very quickly. But again, linking it back to everything that kind of you know is important for that day, you have to say, hold up, this isn't right. This isn't what I need to do. So you kind of stop that activity and get back to the thing that's important. And the last thing is I actually have to plan for these things as though they are distractions along my my path to my treasure on my map. And one of the things I have in my journal is in the top left-hand corner of the page, I've actually drawn a picture of a snake, and I've put a snake because it's kind of this venomous thing that kind of could bite me and stop me from getting to where I want to go. And then I, under that, I put my main distractions. And where's my, I might actually have my journal here with me. Okay, it says Facebook, Twitter, what else is on there? Sleep, so my bed, doing free work, and there's some other kind of, there's probably two or three other ones in there. And basically, for each of those, I then say, what is the big problem with them? And what am I going to do to make sure that they are not an issue? So in any distraction, if you know what your habits are that kind of are going to take you away from where you want to be, the number one thing you have to do is kind of plan for them like it's the big enemy. And you need to make sure that you're always putting in the strategies to make sure that kind of you're limiting their impact on you and your productivity.
You spoke about sleep there. How do you manage sleep?
Sleep is a tough one. Sleep is a really tough one. And it's something I not struggle with, but something I have to treat very carefully. So in the morning, I wake up for Fajr, and I will usually stay up from Fajr until, and start my day there. So that's where I'll do all my training in the morning. That's when I'd get up after training and I'd start my working day. And then I go all the way through until my evening training, which finishes at 10 o'clock at night, which is an hour and a half away from where I live. So I'll get home about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then I'll have to have dinner with my wife. I'll talk to my wife for probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and relax with her. So there are most nights I'll only get 4 to 5 hours sleep. And because I'm on the go all day, I don't even get that kind of siesta in the middle of the day. So what I have to do is I have to kind of schedule in rest and recovery days that kind of are built in to manage that fatigue that kind of is potentially there. And on those days, I'll make sure that I'm still productive, because you can't just completely wipe out and switch your brain off. Like, I'll still be productive, but it will be productive in a completely different way. So that might be a day where I focus a lot more on my family. So it might be, rather than going around shopping in the mall and stuff, which is probably what my wife would like to do, I know that that's going to be quite strenuous on my body, and it's not really rest for me. So I would kind of opt for a day in the park or something with her and my daughter, because there I can sit down, or I can just stand by the swing and little things like that, that I don't have to move too much, but it's still quality time. And it might be that kind of on those days I do a lot of my research. So today I bought 5 books that I'll need to burn through over the next probably week and a half. So on a rest and recovery day, I'll burn through a lot of those books, make sure that I'm making notes on each of those books, taking out the key learnings and stuff like that, because those are things that I might not necessarily have time for if I'm in a full-on training day. So it's just about kind of saying sleep. I'm not always able to get a kind of a perfect amount of sleep on an everyday kind of level, but if that's the case, you need to make sure that you are factoring that in when you're scheduling all of your other appointments on a longer term basis.
MashaAllah. We at productivemovements.com, we have a motto that says have sincere intentions and work hard. What would be the personal motto that you live by?
Wow, the personal motto I live by. Probably my personal mission statement. And my personal mission statement is very clear. It says that every day I will live with Allah as my companion and as my witness. I will be responsible for my responses, and I'll be a benefit to every single person and situation that I come in contact with.
MashaAllah, excellent, alhamdulillah. And would you recommend everyone has their own personal mission statement?
I think through having that mission statement, it means that I've always got this yardstick that I'm carrying around with me, and I know instantly whether I'm hitting my standards or I'm not. And if I know that kind of if you don't hit your own standards, then you probably won't get the treasure that you're looking for. So if you're somebody that knows that you're trying to achieve something in your life and kind of you really want to strive for ihsan, whether kind of that's ultimate pleasure of Allah, or kind of you're looking for true excellence in this world only, like whatever it is you're striving for, if you know what your yardstick is and you can kind of carry it with you, then that can only be a good thing, I think.
Alhamdulillah. Darren, where can our listeners find more about you, and how can they contact you?
they can go to my kind of my blog or my website, which is basically dc17coaching.wordpress.com, or they can send me an email if they want to get in touch, which is dcheeseman, which is D for Denmark, C-H-E-E-S-M-A-N 17@gmail.com, or they can just get in touch via Twitter, which is at Darren Cheeseman, C-H-E-E-S-M-A-N. I've got a program, an online program coming up in a couple of weeks, which is called Path to Ihsan, which covers all of the things that kind of will help somebody kind of get successful in this life as well as the Akhirah. And it's looking at things like presence, ability, targets, so how to set those kind of those key goals. It's looking at the habits that you have in your daily life, time management, but also things like offering yourself and how you can kind of benefit the community. What are the benefits towards you for doing such things? So that's an online program that's happening in April, but I'll be letting the public know about it in about a couple of weeks. So anyone that's listening to this, if you send me an email, what I'll do is I'll make sure that kind of you get an advanced warning when it's going to be and what are the details. So that way you can kind of beat the rush and you can get signed up before everyone else, inshallah.
Sounds good. Sounds like a program that every producer should sign up for, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Darren, thank you very much for a wonderful interview and lots of tips and techniques there. And of course, a very, very inspiring interview. That was Darren Cheeseman. He is an Olympic athlete and a productive Muslim. Hopefully we'll have more of him in time, maybe through articles or through interviews, perhaps join courses, perhaps together in the future, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Darren. Take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.